Greetings this morning to y'all in the name of Jesus, the one who has made it possible for each one of us to be part of his kingdom, to be his children, to extend a welcome to our visitors here this morning. It's good to have you with us. Glad you chose to worship here with us this morning. Open your Bibles with me this morning to James chapter 2. You know, sometimes as you start a series of messages, how many of you remember that I started a series of messages in the book of James of a number of weeks ago? This is the third message now. And sometimes if you do that, you kind of find yourself that maybe got yourself into trouble, a little deep water. As I looked at this subject here in James chapter 2, the first 13 verses, the primary subject here is respect for persons. And I had to look back and think back in the last 20 years that I was in the ministry. I don't know if I ever preached a message on this subject before. And it's a subject that you don't very often hear preached over the pulpit. Maybe we should oftener. But it's just a practical teaching. It's a practical instruction here that James gives us as part of our conduct and part of our behavior as God's people, as his children. Now, if you just a little bit of a history or of the last two messages, we see James. He looks at faith. He mentions faith. First chapter, we looked at the testing of our faith in chapter 1. And this morning here in chapter 2, the first verse, he again brings faith into the picture. Verse 1 simply says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." I'd like to read the first 13 verses here in James chapter 1. James 1, verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not partial then in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Now if you think about that, surely that's not a problem among us. Surely we wouldn't treat somebody like that. I've been thinking about that and thinking about my life and just reflecting a little bit about respect of persons and partiality and discrimination. I wonder how often the Lord has to look at me and say, you know what, that's respect of persons. That's discrimination. That's partiality. Excuse me, that's partiality. Verse 4 says, "Are ye not partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced that the law is transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou wilt commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." Now, in the world that we're living in today, there's favoritism, there's discrimination. In all their various forms, different forms, it's real and it's present. And most likely, at some level, we all experienced some kind of discrimination in our lives, or people showed partiality against us. Whether that was because of how we looked, Maybe it was how we sounded when we talked. Whether we were too thin or too fat, whether we were athletic or not, this can happen in younger years, whether we're smart or we're not so smart. But how you react when you are discriminated says a lot about you. But here in James chapter 2, God is not concerned so much about how we react when we're discriminated as he is in whether or not we are treating everyone as equally valued. That is the primary message in these first 13 verses. So the question is, do we love people equally? Do we care for people equally? Do we value the poor man as much as we do the rich man? Do you accept the good-looking person as much as you do the one that is not so good-looking? We have to face reality in life, in your world, in the world that we're living in. We're going to be faced with the rich and the poor. We're faced with the smart and the not so smart. We're faced with the godly and the ungodly, the good-looking and the not-so-good-looking, the heavy and the skinny, the white and the black, the hairy and the bald, and even the good-smelling and the bad-smelling sometimes. And the list could go on. The question is, how do I respond? How do you respond? How do we respond? What are my first thoughts, my first reactions when I find myself in this situation, faced with something like this? So the question this morning is, does your faith in Jesus Christ cause you to love, to care, and to treat everyone equally? Genuine faith causes you to love everyone equally. And this is the subject that James addresses here in chapter 2. In verse 1 he says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." I think probably a more clear statement of the thought simply would be, my brethren, don't even try and combine your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with acts of partiality toward other folks. That's what James is saying here. He's asking the question, how can you claim to have genuine faith in Jesus when you're prejudiced or partial or discriminating people? And as a follower of Jesus, as brethren, James is talking to brethren here. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to God's people, to Christians. Do not try to combine faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with acts of partiality toward people. That's what James is saying here. To have respect to persons is sin. In verse 9 it says that, "But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." Then he gives us an illustration there in verse 2 and 3 about a rich man and a poor man. And he's very emphatic there about the rich. How to respect the rich and despise the poor is inconsistent for the Christian. Because the Christ whom we serve, Jesus himself, was poor and he had no place to lay his head. You know, he came from a despised city. You know, we have the verse there where it says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" That was the attitude that people had about Jesus. He grew up in a humble home. Some were embarrassed with him simply being just a carpenter's son. He lived in a simple family setting. You know, his parents could only offer turtle doves as his presentation in the temple. Yet he was the Lord of glory, a reverent name for Jesus Christ. That phrase simply reflects the Hebrew Shekinah, the glorious manifestation of God's presence to his people. That was Jesus. That was Jesus to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Brother Reuben read that. Jesus Christ is described as the brightness of God's glory. This was Jesus, and yet he was, to some people, considered very poor, very lowly, and he was. So in essence, James is saying here, do not try to combine faith in our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ with acts of partiality. It's very, very grossly inconsistent to allow favoritism and discrimination and at the same time be associated with faith, by faith, with such an exalted person as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'd like to look at chapter 2 here and just pull out some truth that we need to consider today. First of all, favoritism is to give preference to one person or group over others with equal claims. And I'd like to be understood, like to point out a few things as we think of the idea of favor or showing favoritism. Favoritism is showing favor for one person over another, even if they have equal claim. And James gives us that example of what he means there in verse 2. You know, suppose someone comes into our church here or to our meeting. He's dressed in fancy clothes, expensive jewelry. And another comes who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. It mentions that right here in chapter 2. And if you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you stand over here and you also sit on the floor here. That discrimination, that partiality, shows that your judgments are guided by evil motives. James uses a very simple illustration to bring a clear point. Maybe this is one more prevalent to our day. A person arrives at church, drives a nice car. He wears fine clothes. We know he lives in a big house. We know he has a big salary. And he's just dripping with wealth. You can just see it all over him. The other fellow comes in, he's poor. If he has a car, it's old. It's bent up and busted up. He has very little money. He may be wearing tattered clothes. And he's obviously dripping with poverty. James is simply saying here, to the rich man, if we ignore the poor fellow and tell him just to sit on the back row, and then we say to the rich man, give him a good seat and a better seat. He's saying that our motives are guided, our actions are guided by evil motives. And that's why God hates it when he sees people showing favoritism based on appearances, because it's driven by selfishness, it's driven by personal gain, and it's driven by misguided motives. Now, we're all aware of the fact that favoritism not only can happen at church, but it can happen in families, it happens at work, it can happen at school, and in any other place that you may find yourselves. And we have the stories there in the Old Testament, the story about Isaac and Rebekah, the favoritism that they showed with their sons. It was just total chaos. It brought chaos to the family. Then we have the story about Jacob. Rebekah favored the younger, and through deception, she helped Jacob to receive the blessings. The animosity, the hatred it caused between brothers, to the point where Esau would have killed his brother if he could have, if he had opportunity. And again, Jacob kind of repeated that with his family there about with Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 and 4, it very clearly states that Jacob had showed greater favor to Joseph. And it caused havoc in their homes as well. The word favoritism has many names, different names. Favoritism, the definition of that says, to practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. Then we have the word discrimination. It's the unjust treatment of different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race, age, or sex. We have the word prejudice. the preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience, dislike, hostility, or unjust behavior deriving from unfolded opinions. And then we have the thing of racism. The belief that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially so as to distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races. Those are the four different words, the four different definitions that we find ourselves faced with today. But friends, this morning, we as God's people, we as believers, James is speaking to us. Whatever form favoritism takes, and wherever it shows up, we are to rise above that and to be free from that. Now, I'd like to clear myself before we move on. Favoritism is to give preference to one person or group above others with equal claims. And I don't want to be misunderstood here this morning. There's times when you need to treat people differently because of who they are or the position they hold. That's not favoritism. Just an illustration. I treat my wife better than other women. I'm not showing favoritism because the other women don't have equal claim to me or my attention. She has the right or a claim on me to be treated differently. Just because I give my children more attention or my grandchildren than yours is not showing favoritism. Because my family, your family, has equal claim to me or my attention. It's also true that those of the same trade tend to associate more freely together. Just for example, I'm a farmer. I can connect pretty closely with farmers. And just because we have that common bond, that's not favoritism. Those a particular age group will tend to have closer ties with each other, with the same age group. These kinds of groupings are common and acceptable. But simply to show favoritism on the basis of wealth or race or status in life is a dangerous thing. The lesson we find here in James chapter 2 is that just because a man is well-dressed does not mean that he should have a special place in our assemblies. Neither should we offer the poor a lesser place. Point number one. Favoritism is an indication of spiritual immaturity. As followers of Jesus, as we treat people that are different to us, they look different than us, they hold different opinions than we, they live different than we do, can tell us a lot about where we are and how we're doing spiritually. Genuine faith, as it grows, begins to treat each one equally. Genuine faith causes you to see value in everyone. But if we're segregating people and placing value on people based on how they look, what they sound like, and how much they have, you're not as spiritually mature as you think you are. If we're segregating people, placing value on people based on how they look, what they sound like, and how much they have, then we're not as spiritually mature as we think we are. Let's look carefully again in verse 1. It says, "My brethren and sisters, how can you claim your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others when you place your faith in Christ?" You know, Jesus forgave each one of us. Those of us who have the blood of Jesus on our lives, He forgave each one of us. He treated you just like He does everyone who places their faith in Him for salvation. Your wealth didn't matter. Your skin color didn't matter. Your education didn't matter. Your appearance didn't matter. Your gender didn't matter. Your history didn't matter. you were treated and are treated equally. You were forgiven equally. You were adopted into his family equally. You were saved equally. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." To reinforce this truth, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." I believe when we don't treat people equally, we're demonstrating that we really don't understand what happened at the cross for each one of us. And that's why James asks the question, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus if you favor some people over others? The second point, favoritism dishonors people. In verse 8, James says that when you show favoritism toward the rich, you dishonor the poor. Notice the principle here. When you show favoritism toward someone because of their skin color, you dishonor all the other people that don't have that skin color. When you show favoritism because of someone's gender, you dishonor everyone of the other gender. When you show favoritism on someone based on how they look, then you dishonor all those who don't look like that. Romans 12, verses 10, 9 and 10 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." You know, in our lives, competition, there's something about competition that motivates and inspires. I think we'd have more of an honor, more of a competition to honor each other better than we honor ourselves, we'd be miles ahead. My goal is to honor you more than you do me, but your goal should be to honor me more than I do you. And if we really value people, if we really value other people, we honor them because we honor everything that is value, that has value. To honor someone, then, is to speak to them with respect, give them undivided attention. Followers of Jesus, God's people, should be the best at honoring others because we know the real value of a human life. Favoritism dishonors human life by saying this person is more valuable than this other person is. The third point, favoritism is overcome with mercy. Now, we don't have time to look at everything James says about favoritism, but I'd like to notice in verse 2, notice verse 12. First of all, I'd like to just point out briefly verses 9 and 10. Verse 8 says, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." Verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What that simply is saying, you know, we can be keeping the law, loving the neighbor as ourselves. We're not committing adultery, as it says in 11. We're not killing. But yet, we find ourselves in this act of favoritism. We're no better than they are. That's what it says in verse 10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Brother Abner challenged us this morning about what is God's will for our life. God's will for our lives is to obey all commandments as his people. Favoritism is overcome with mercy. Notice verse 12. "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." You know, all our lives, we judge people, whether we want to or not. We can judge them by their appearances, their age, their affluence, their achievements, their academics. But if we judge them by that, we show favoritism. Or we can judge everyone based on mercy. You know, somewhere along life, we pick up an assumption or an attitude towards certain people who look a certain way. They sound a certain way. They act a certain way. And you ignore them. We look down at them. Maybe even ridicule them. But God says, don't do this. Instead, he says, show mercy. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is compassion. Mercy reaches out to help those who have a need. Mercy is what causes you to love your enemy. Mercy is what motivates you to help a stranger. Mercy is kind when others are unkind. Mercy is loving when others are unloving. Mercy treats everyone equally when you are not treated equally. You know, any selfish person can show favoritism, but it takes a transformed heart to demonstrate real mercy. Mercy is your weapon against favoritism. James mentions this again in James chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom is demonstrated by God's people when they are full of mercy and show no favoritism. Mercy says, even though they are different from me, I'm going to love them anyway. They may not be what I want them to be, but I'm going to honor them and show them respect. Mercy says, I will treat everyone equally. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Mercy should be a common factor and exercise in the life of God's people. It should not be a strange thing to find a true believer who treats everyone with equal value. So in conclusion, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21 says, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Playing favorites is always a bad thing. You can do great harm in seemingly harmless ways. I think that's simply what the proverb is saying there. Just a quote in closing here. It says, genuine faith causes you to love everyone equally. Over time, your faith in Christ, your relationship with Jesus, will change your heart about the people you are prejudiced against. Your faith changes your mindset toward those who favor and those you dishonor. As your faith grows, you will begin to love and cherish the rich and poor, the educated and the uneducated, the cool and the not-so-cool, the good-looking and the ugly, the man and the woman, the godly and the ungodly, the white and the black, and everyone else around you. As your heart is transformed by your faith in Jesus, you will have a heart of God for the world, and you will begin to love the world like Jesus does. So may God help us. May God help us to hold an equal regard to all people, men and women, and children, regardless of their social status, their race, or their country. May he help us to see each person as a soul for whom Christ died for, the one who offers eternal life to each one.